Now, a study from the Liberal Economic Policy Institute shows Wisconsin trailing Minnesota by nearly every economic measure since 2011. That's the year Governor Scott Walker, a Republican, and Minnesota Governor Mark Dayton, a Democrat, took office. The report's author concluded that Minnesota has done a better job of reducing unemployment, increasing wages, and growing its economy. WPR's Morning Show talked to David Cooper, the author of that report, earlier this month.
When Governors Walker and Dayton came to power and they had pretty strong majorities eventually of their parties in their state legislatures, they had the opportunity to try and shape what the future would look like. And I think what I would say is that in Wisconsin, unfortunately, the path that was chosen did not shift things in a direction that would ultimately help.
But our next guest says, hold on, the report is cherry-picking and massaging economic data to make the Gopher State look better. In reality, he says, the conservative fiscal policies enacted under Governor Walker have pushed the Badger State right past our neighbor to the west. Chris Rochester is communications director at the MacGyver Institute. Chris, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Well, quoting that Economic Policy Institute study, quote here, by virtually every available measure, Minnesota's recovery has outperformed Wisconsin. But you say there's cherry picking of data going on, and we can really get into the weeds here, but broad strokes, where do you think they're going wrong there?
Well, you're right. It's really easy to get bogged down in the weeds with all this economic analysis because, you know, there's so much data. You can really just do something as simple as picking and choosing what timeline of data you're looking at to arrive at a conclusion that's more favorable to your narrative. And as you mentioned, the Economic Policy Institute, it is a liberal think tank that's, you know, it's got a lot of union backing. So they're coming at this with a perspective. And, you know, so we urge your audience to just be kind of circumspect when hearing studies like this. And, you know, we've heard for a number of years that Minnesota has been outperforming Wisconsin because of the differences between Governor Walker and Governor Dayton. But, you know, don't be lured into an unearned inferiority complex. Wisconsin is doing quite well. You know, I think we should remind listeners the reason why people like to look at Wisconsin and Minnesota is because superficially they are very similar states. We have a similar we're similar geography. We're close in proximity. So, you know, similar economic makeups. But when you really take into account the context, the data actually shows that in many ways Wisconsin is doing better, or at least isn't doing nearly as badly as the kind of the hyperbolic statements from the left would indicate.
Well, let's lay out the basic case. What kind of economic data are you looking at and to say, yeah, Wisconsin has done better than Minnesota? Give us the basics.
Unemployment is a major one, obviously a major and a very important economic indicator. The Center of the American Experiment in Minneapolis, which is a right-leaning think tank, was the first to take a look at this study. And they found that if you take a look at the unemployment rates for Wisconsin, actually starting December of 2010, which is the month before the two governors actually took office, Wisconsin has done a better job of reducing its unemployment rate. So what the EPI study does is it just kind of generalizes and says Minnesota's peak unemployment rate of 8.1% was June 2009, Wisconsin's peak unemployment rate of 9.2% was January of 2010. Then they make kind of a sweeping generalization that Minnesota has outperformed Wisconsin more effectively, reducing its unemployment rate. But if you take a look at the actual tenures of the two governors, like I said, starting the month before they took office, Wisconsin has outperformed Minnesota in reducing the unemployment rate. Wisconsin's rate is now at a historic low of 2.8%. Wisconsin or Minnesota is stuck at 3.2%. So if you look at the amount of drop from that one point in December of 10, Wisconsin's unemployment rate has dropped by 5.3% and Minnesota's has dropped by 3.9%, meaning Wisconsin has actually outperformed Minnesota in reducing unemployment by 26%, a 26% difference. So, again, in the most recent numbers, Minnesota's unemployment remained flat. Wisconsin's dropped again down to 2.8%. So I think the biggest stretch might be saying that Minnesota's done a better job at reducing its unemployment rate.
One argument I've seen is that the workforce is growing faster in Minnesota, more people, in effect, moving there. Wisconsin a little more stagnant on just the raw number of workers. If you've got that influx of more people coming in, naturally, as they come in and are looking for jobs, the unemployment rate might not go down as quickly. So maybe a bit of good news, bad news there on the Minnesota side.
Yeah, and at the MacIver Institute, we've done quite a bit of reporting on the fact that Wisconsin has a domestic net migration problem. Minnesota does too. The author of the study cited that when he was on the show, Mr. Cooper. And so that is something that we acknowledge that Wisconsin has an issue with. Minnesota is doing slightly better, especially recently, but they've had more population growth in part because of foreign migration to the state. So, you know, it's another area for Wisconsin to look at. It's been talked about for a long time. We need to bring in more people into the workforce, especially as people start to retire from the workforce. But interestingly, in the, you know, back to the unemployment rate, Minnesota was keeping up pretty well with Wisconsin. They started out with about 1% lower unemployment, so they're a little more at an advantage. But around 2014 or so, that's when they started to kind of level off, where Wisconsin has kept continuing on a downward trajectory. Another thing that is related to population is the gross domestic product per capita. So, you know, if you look at the comparative data, Wisconsin has actually far outpaced Minnesota in terms of gross domestic product per capita, and that is probably the best measure of economic well-being, regardless of population growth, because it is how much has economic growth redounded to the benefit of each individual person. And according to the Minnesota think tank that we were quoting their research, Wisconsin's per capita GDP has grown by 9.8%, outpacing Minnesota's per capita growth of 5.5%. And that, again, is when you look at data that starts in the last quarter of 2010, which is right before the two governors took office, through the present day. Whereas the Economic Policy Institute study on GDP growth, they looked at all of 2010 through the end of 2017. So when you throw that extra year in there, it changes the outcome of the growth data. And if you also look at overall economic growth, you know, so GDP per capita is probably the best measure, but overall economic growth over that time period too is 11.9% in Wisconsin versus 10.9% in Minnesota.
I want to dig into one more issue, wage growth. I want to listen to the EPI study author David Cooper again on WPR's morning show.
If you look at wage growth between the two states, at basically every single point on the wage distribution, Minnesota had faster wage growth than Wisconsin. In fact, over that entire seven-year period from 2010 to 2017 that I looked at, wages in Wisconsin, the median wage in Wisconsin, just barely kept up with inflation, whereas in Minnesota, it was rising by almost 3 percentage points faster than inflation. So that's a meaningful difference for folks who are looking for a little bump in their paycheck.
So, Chris, talk about wage growth in our tale of two states here.
Well, Minnesota has, for the longest time, had better, higher wages. And so the difference between wages and earnings, this is kind of a really in-the-weeds thing. But it's important to people. Wages is what are what you take home if you're a working person. And earnings are everything, which includes growth in retirement and all that, other sources of income. And, they're not wrong to say that Wisconsin is behind on hourly wages. But that's where the context comes in because, you know, as I mentioned, superficially Wisconsin and Minnesota are very similar. But Minnesota, and this was mentioned on the show too, Minnesota has a more diverse economy. And they have 18 Fortune 500 companies. They have the Twin Cities, which are a tremendous economic engine. We have 9 Fortune 500 companies, and one thing that's been mentioned on WPR recently is that we, long ago chose to locate our capital and our university in a separate city from our major, our only first-class city, Milwaukee. I would venture, I just put this out there, if you swapped the Twin Cities with Milwaukee, I think we'd have exactly the opposite situation with regard to wages. And if you look at the level of wages in Hennepin County, which is the county, of course, that contains the Twin Cities. Their most recent average hourly wage, is not hourly, weekly. This would be great. $1,335. In Milwaukee County, it's $1,056. So there's a substantial difference there. And when you put so much of your population into that one population center, that has a potential to throw off the data for the whole state in terms of wages. If you took a look at two other counties, one caller actually, when Mr. Cooper was on the show, asked about if you look at a different county outside the major metro areas. I took my home county, La Crosse County, with one right across the river, Winona County. And wage growth over this time period, which would be the fourth quarter of 2010 through the fourth quarter of 2016, Winona County wages went up 7.3% and in La Crosse, 10.9%. So, there's, again, it's a very complicated task to take these two states and compare them in such a general way. But if you, you know, if you get into some of those, you know, rural counties or counties that have smaller cities in them, you do start to get a little bit of a different picture.
Chris Rochester is with us from the MacGyver Institute, getting his take on the economic performances of Wisconsin and Minnesota since 2011. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Which state do you think has the better economic approach and why? Do you want to make the case for either side of the border here? How has your personal economy changed since the end of the Great Recession and since the time that Governors Dayton and Walker came into office? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas at WPR.org. We continue our conversation with Chris Rochester, Communications Director at the MacGyver Institute. He wrote a piece titled, Wheels Have Fallen Off Liberals, Minnesota is Utopia Argument. He says, economically speaking, Wisconsin is doing better under Republican Governor Scott Walker than Minnesota under Democrat Mark Dayton. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your reactions, with your questions. Right to your calls now. Tom is with us in Madison. Tom, hi.
Hi, how you doing? I just had a question on when you're talking about the MacGyver Institute as being not having a bias. I find that rather hard to believe. I've actually followed a lot of their videos and their writing over the years. And if I'm not mistaken, back in 2011, the MacGyver Institute and Americans for Prosperity purchased more than $500,000 in ads supporting Scott Walker's budget proposal. Is that true? And also, if you could make a comparison with health care and also working conditions in both states, I'd appreciate it.
Tom, thanks for the call. I don't think you said at any point that MacGyver was unbiased. Chris, you're, I think, openly a conservative outfit. But let's talk about his... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, our logo says Wisconsin's free market voice right on it.
And then he brought up comparing health care. Can you talk about it? And that's something that the Economic Policy Institute report looked at, and then you looked at as well. What do you see? How do you compare the two states?
Yeah, so Minnesota accepted the Medicaid expansion under Obamacare, which brought them $1.2 billion in federal grants. So the left in Wisconsin likes to point to that and say, you know, Wisconsin should have taken it. We've left money on the table. But when you, if you followed, as I have, the experience of health care and the taxpayers' experience in Minnesota, it hasn't been, it's been anything but free money. In going headed into 2017, premiums on the individual market in Minnesota went up by from 50 to 67%, which meant that a lot of middle-class people who did not benefit from the federal premium support subsidies were just kind of in a panic. And as a result, Minnesota, you know, Governor Dayton, the legislature had to call an emergency session of the legislature to approve a special state subsidy for those people so that they'd be held to something more like a 16% increase so it wouldn't devastate their finances. That cost the state $300 million, but as a consequence, 123,000 struggling people in Minnesota, who didn't qualify for those subsidies, were spared that giant price hike. But that wasn't the only expense. After that, Minnesota established a reinsurance program at the state level, which is similar to what Governor Walker is trying to do right now. He got that through the legislature in an effort to stabilize premiums over the long term. But that cost an additional $542 million. So we're coming up on $1 billion in expenses $842 million in expenses to state taxpayers in Minnesota. So it's we always like to use the free money in air quotes because it's rarely free. Now, in Wisconsin, we took a different approach. We said that you're covered on Badger Care up to the poverty line, and then people who fall in the gap between that and qualifying for Obamacare subsidies can go onto the individual market. Our reinsurance that costs in Minnesota $542 million, the Walker administration is projecting to cost about $34 million out of the state treasury. So, that's a stark difference. And so while we are seeing steep premium increases in Wisconsin in past years, 36% heading into 2018, they're now projecting with that, as has been the case in Minnesota after their reinsurance, with that $34 million, they're looking at a premium decrease next year. So, but you have to look at that cost in the context of how many people have insurance. Basically, Wisconsin and Minnesota are identical in how many people are covered. The national average is 9% of people who don't have coverage. In Minnesota, it's 6%, and Wisconsin, it's 7%. So that's a virtually identical rate of people who are insured.
Chris, very briefly, how about this? So we just have a few seconds. We're all in a general, slow, gradual national recovery, and maybe these are just local variations. State policy didn't matter that much.
That's a possibility. I think a lot of this is overdone. If you look at Minnesota, Governor Dayton only had complete control of state government for a couple years. Governor Walker's had control of state government essentially for his entire tenure in office. But other than some major policies, which are important, it's not, we're still neighbors, we're still friends, we're still a lot alike, and I wouldn't put too much on these sorts of studies.
Chris, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Sure thing. Thank you for having me on.
That's Chris Rochester, Communications Director at the MacGyver Institute. He joined us to talk about why he says Wisconsin's economy is outperforming Minnesota's. He's responding to an Economic Policy Institute report that makes the opposite case.